I'm Sam DeAcenado.
Next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the March 4th meeting. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move for approval, Madam Chairman.
Second.
All right, and all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next item on the agenda is public comment. If you are here for public comment, please come to the podium, state your name and address for the record. You have 2.5 minutes. When the timer goes off, please wrap up your remarks. And so we have time for everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have my own timer today, sir, so I don't go over.
Okay, great.
Good morning. I'm Ellen Moore, and I live at 1469 Gunnison Street in Carolina Park. I'm here today to ask you to listen carefully to the discussions today and leading up to next week's vote. We ask you to reconsider your votes and approve and your vote to approve the proposed affordable housing tract in Carolina Park at the next meeting on the 9th. If this proposal passes with your final votes, the communities and residents of Carolina Park, Park West, Dunes West will be negatively impacted by your actions. As a community, we're requesting that the town council place the project on hold, defer the plan to approve the AH track until the proper budget funding and subsequent infrastructure requirements have begun and or are in place to support 100 additional residential sites in our communities. Housing developments and land developments are delayed all the time. It's common, and it will help to get it right for the existing residents. The land has been vacant since 2012 when Seacoast Church purchased this land. What's the rush? Our communities are simply not ready for this type of development in the land selected by the developer Prosperity Builders and supported by the Town of Mount Pleasant's nonprofit Affordable Housing for All Mount Pleasant. You are putting the affordable cart before the horse, the infrastructure and education horse, so to speak. Our schools, especially our elementary school, are not ready for this this development, and the same could be said for Park West schools such as Cario and Lang, as well as Wando High School. In essence, we were asking you as elected officials in a town experiencing tremendous growth to manage growth responsibly, and you have even set limits on growth in Mount Pleasant, and you've excluded affordable housing. Your obligation to the current residents of Mount Pleasant. We're shouting from the rafters. Our infrastructure is not ready for this proposed project. Please do the right thing. Get this right for the current residents of Mount Pleasant and Carolina Park and our adjacent communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else here for public comment?
Madam Chairman, my name is Jay Claypool. I'm here to speak about agenda item 5A. I'll hold any comments. Yeah, I'm here for questions if you'd like them. I think Michelle and staff will cover the agenda item perfectly fine. If you have any questions, I'll sit here and take them later.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Anyone else for public comment? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Item number 4 on the agenda is budget review 4A.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. Good morning to you as well. If you would, on your in your budget, flip to the plan tab. And the first page is page 35. And on it, you'll see the grand total at the bottom. We're asking for the budget to be reduced 13.5%. There's no new budgets, no new positions asked for in this budget. You'll notice that most of the reduction comes in contractual services, where we've had money being carried forward to complete projects, particularly the rewrite. That's no longer necessary. In fact, I'll ask you to flip to the next page, which lists our contractual services, and you'll see what is included in that budget for next year. There's $100,000 for stage 2 of the zoning code rewrite, and we also are requesting $100,000 for special area plans, corridor plans, resulting from that. And so contractual services is the real story here. And other than that, it's a fairly small budget and fairly lean, thanks to Ms. Reed. If you have your budget, page 115, I can mention it to you, is our maintenance. What it lists in there are continued funding for historical markers and tree bank and underground and power lines. Other than that, open to any questions that you have.
Committee, are there any questions? Mr. Chapman?
Madam Chairman, the only thing I want to point out, and it really started last year or with this year's budget, is the transfer of some positions within planning to EDS. And I say that because there may be some individuals who want to know why the budget in planning was less. And that's the primary reason for that. Is that not correct, Mr. DeMoor?
Well, sir, what you're stating was correct, but that's been some time now. This is a true version of right. the positions, you know, compared to the current budget.
Right.
But a few years back, we did go ahead and you know, separate positions into EDS for efficiencies.
Right.
But this picture of the proposed budget can be compared directly to the current year budget as far as positions and makeup and things right. like that.
Okay. Thank you. Hi.
You said there's a reduction. Is it the same? Is this 13% or is it?
Yes, ma'am. Correct. It's entirely in contractual services. The budget last year, let me see here, was $708,000, and the requested budget, what we're asking for next year, is $287,000. It's down over $400,000, and that's essentially the story for the whole budget.
Okay. With the special area plan, is that the hubs? Mm-hmm. That's the budget for the hubs or no?
No, the hubs are part of the code update. What we're looking at is, so we're going to be working on the comp plan update. We're going to be looking at what's called the cultural core, which came out of the last comp plan, which is kind of your Boone Hall, Hamlin Plantation area. But it could include future further down hub study. So the hubs were originally supposed to be special area plans. So it may be that we end up taking one of the larger hubs and doing further study. So that could be a part of it. But the big part is the comp plan and the cultural core and those sorts of things. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions from the committee? Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to the next item on the agenda.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Are we expected to give a recommendation to town council?
Ideally, sir, that this committee would recommend the budget favorably to the budget committee of council, which will meet back up again. It's traditional that we do that. It's not required because as staff, we're going to report any adjustments or changes that you make anyway back to budget committee, but it's preferable.
All right. Do I have a motion?
I will move that we recommend to town council approval of the planning department's budget.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 5.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. So this first request before you, it's actually the only one that came from Planning Commission under new business, is a request to amend the Wilson Tract plan development. The Wilson Tract is actually what you think of as town center, and it also includes the Sweetgrass Corner where the by-low is. But the particular tract we're talking about is Sweetgrass Corner. It's about 10 acres. You can see it there outlined in red. And I'm sure you all know that there has been a by-low there, and we've seen some of these around town over the last few years. You know, when these sort of strip malls came in, you would typically have an anchor tenant, so one large tenant, and then you would have the smaller leases or the units next to it. And so what this came in as, it is a planned development. This is a request to increase the signage, and I'll explain that in a bit more. So here's what we're looking at. Again, the by-low was the large tenant in the shopping center, and this did go to the design review board for facade improvements, and that was all approved, as you can see here. But the signage was outlined in the plan development. So you have two ways to change your signage. You'd either amend the plan development or you'd have to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals. The easiest one here was to amend the PD, and it really made sense. Because what we're seeing with these large anchor tenants is that we're not able to fill them. They're sitting vacant for a long time. And so, fortunately, we're seeing them get filled, but they're being broken up. So you can see here that the large Bylo is actually going to propose to be three equal tenants. And here's the signage that is proposed. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So what we have here is our current ordinance. Typically, you would have like that Bylo come in. They would be called the anchor tenant. Their signage would be the largest. They would get 1 square foot per linear foot of building frontage. But in order to qualify for that, the minimum square footage is 20,000 square feet. That right there knocks them out because all of these three broken up are about 13,000 square feet a piece. And what would happen is you'd have the anchor tenant come in, they get the larger sign, and then those other smaller tenants come in and they qualify into the shopping center and they get the 0 to 60. So they would get the smaller signage. And so really our current ordinances, and when this PD was adopted, it's really antiquated and it doesn't account for the way that these buildings are getting reused. And so that's what's before you. They really just want to break it up, make these all three equal tenants. And what they're asking is very specific, just to allow for each signage to be 124.5 square feet. And so this is a very rough draft. Some of these, how they look could change. In fact, they probably will change, but as far as the overall master plan of how these square footages lay out, that's what's proposed for you today. And so the language in the PD is really just to say that these three tenants would be allowed the 577.5 square feet, but in no case would any of those three exceed the 125 square feet. And so it's really about taking away that large anchor tenant signage, breaking it up, and allowing them all equal signage. This does only pertain to the building. This does not have anything to do with any signage that would be out on Highway 17. And the Planning Commission recommended approval, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions from the committee? Mr. Chapman?
In terms of out on Highway 17, mm-hmm. there is already a pretty large mm-hmm. Signage, which includes other things.
Right.
And you say that this doesn't include anything out there.
Mm-mm.
Will there be something similar to what was out there for Bylo for these three as well?
They will probably switch out that signage, but they won't be required to do anything larger because that's not part of the request. So they'll have to fit within the parameters of what's existing.
Okay. Well, that was my question.
Yeah.
We'll have three large signs out front. It'll be one similar size.
Correct.
That's out there today, or that was out there with Bylo.
Correct.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions from me? Do we have a motion?
I'll move for approval, Madam Chairman.
We have a motion to recommend approval. Do we have a second? Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Moving on to item number 6.
Okay, so as you recall, this went to Town Council. It did receive first reading approval. There was a request that it come back to the committee for further study. So it's going to be on the Planning Committee today where we're going to talk a little bit about the traffic but concentrate on the impact of schools. And then a larger and more in-depth transportation piece will be on the Transportation Committee later today. So just to kind of familiarize with it, it is 100 three-bedroom attainable housing units. It's going to be about 8 units per acre. And what I want to do now is introduce Ms. Angela Barnett with CCSD, and she's going to come up and talk a little bit about the impacts on capacity and the enrollment numbers as they exist today and moving forward. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Barnett.
Madam Chairman and committee men, thank you for having me here today. So I'm here to speak to you mainly about the impact that this project would have on our schools. Every development that comes into any municipality always reaches out to the school district. My department, part of what we do is we handle the proof of coordination letters. which lets us determine what the impact to our schools would look like. So I'm just going to briefly go through these slides. This is a true reflection that you're looking at of our enrollment table. What you're seeing for FY19 all the way through FY24 are actuals. That was actual enrollment inside of those schools. And I'm only looking at the schools that are being impacted by this project and their feeder pattern. So when you see that, these are the three elementary schools, the middle and the high. So you'll notice there's a column that also lists our building capacity. So that lets you be able to see what the impact of the current enrollment and the impact of the future enrollment. When we look at our future enrollment projections, we look at a lot of different things when we determine enrollment. Part of that is we're looking at the survival cohort method that we utilize inside our school district, and that is looking at past trends inside of those schools. It is unique to every school and to every grade. We determine a statistical method that is applied to the current enrollment that projects us forward. We then look at all of the municipal developments that are going on in any of our geographic regions. And if you'll switch to the next slide, that is when we come up with a student yield rate. So just like we do with the county and the city, we work with the city of Mount Pleasant's planning department to determine what is going on inside of the town of Mount Pleasant. We update this. We do it quarterly. Sometimes we reach out and sit with Michelle and her department. Other times we're just getting them to feed us the information. But this gives us a true and accurate idea of what's going on. For most of our geographic school areas, what we do inside the school district is we're mainly looking at what is permitted. But we do look also at what is not permitted, and that's future projections. We get a yield rate that is based on everything from single family, multifamily, apartments. Everything is very unique to get that percentage. It is also unique to elementary school, middle school, and high school. We see a difference. We actually had a third-party group that came in a couple of years ago that gave us our new student yield rates percentages, because that is really based off of mobility and looking at everything that's going on for past historical. So it is a true reflection of how we get these percentages. So if you look at this, you can really see that with Carolina Park, overall for future and for permitted, we're looking at an impact right now of 61 students. The biggest thing that's going on right now that you all may know is you may see some construction going on at Carolina Park. You can flip to the next slide. The next slide is our expansion, which will be completed this November. This expansion is actually going to give us 192 extra spots for students. So with a 61, even looking at future, with a 61 permitted, if we were to say that even the futures were permitted, that's a student impact of only 61 students, that it would impact Carolina Park. We would still have available seats there. The other thing that I really want you truly to look at is there is a 200 plus available seats right now between Carolina Park, between Laurel Hill and Charles Pinckney. We're doing this expansion to assist in making sure that the residents of Carolina Park are able to attend that school. But for other pocket areas, there is the potential of rezoning. We never would want to leave that many available seats without looking at that potential to rezoning. So even if there is more growth in the area, we know that there are 200 plus seats at those other two elementary schools. There is hardly very little capacity, we know, for building for their attendance zones. So we know that there are probably always going to be some available seats there. We're not seeing a tremendous future growth for those two schools. If we are going to see an impact, even if the moratorium is lifted at one point in time, we're going to see it probably would impact Carolina Park. But those areas we would look at rezoning potentially in the future. So that just kind of gives you an idea, and I can only speak to impacts on our school and not the community, but we do these and we do always look at how they're impacting our schools, what that student yield rate is looking at, what the potential of maybe new schools. We do know that there are some potential of a new charter school that's coming to the town of Mount Pleasant. we look at all of those factors also when we're looking at this. So we felt very comfortable in saying that currently, yes, it can impact Carolina Park until the expansion is completed.
And it is the project completion will be November 2024.
Correct.
And for, just this question is for Michelle, the 100 units of housing, they would come online probably not till 25 or 26, is that correct?
At least, yeah.
Definitely,
2 to 3 years probably.
2 to 3 years. So the two primary concerns that we've heard from the Carolina Park residents is their concern about the impact on schools and the concern about the impact on traffic. Mm-hmm. I think based on your presentation here, it seems that there is plenty of capacity, and there will be plenty of capacity at Carolina Park, but there's going to be 190 seats, and the estimate, even with this additional 100 units, is only 60 students.
That's 61 for everything right now that we have that's going on that impacts that attendance zone.
Oh, that's for everything. That's for everything. So everything that's coming online. So plenty of space there, additional 200 seats at the other elementary school. So it's possible that that could be zoned for something else if it came to that. So to me, that should assuage the concerns of the community as far as the capacity of the school. It's not going to impact their students. Their students are not going to get rezoned anywhere else. They still get to go to Carolina Park Elementary School, and it's not going to overcrowd the schools because you all are coming online 2 years before this project is even going to come to completion.
Correct. And if they're just, and I don't know if it's even come up, but I think a lot of people are probably saying, well, what about our CD students at Carolina Park? There is no intention of moving CD back. The school district overall has taken on a philosophy of an early ed concept, and we have these hubs of early ed centers. And so those CD students will remain at Laurel Hill.
Great. Are there any questions from committee, Mr. Chapman?
Yes. Ms. Barnett, the Wando High School numbers, can you go back to that, please?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm looking at 2019 up through 2024, and there's a significant lessening.
That is when we opened, of course, Beckham.
Yeah,
and when we opened Beckham, we all that about 1,600 plus students
exactly
made that transition.
Exactly. And is there not a projected third high school north of Mount Pleasant still in the works?
I cannot confirm that. We are in discussions for a potential school site that will be going in our constituent District 1 area. That is still being vetted and coming up with a concept of what that could look like. There is a Blue Ribbon Committee that is currently working on that with community members trying to determine what would that look like. So there has been no really idea of what a concept would be, what the attendance zone would look like. None of that has been really finalized. We are still in conceptual right now.
But Wando High School in 2024, which we're in, is substantially under capacity.
Correct.
Thank you.
Is that giving you a question?
I guess I have
the other slide. We've looked at two.
Yes.
Is this chart explaining what we might project from this development? It's saying.
Correct. So when you look at student fill rate of planned development, mm-hmm. and you see Laurel Hill and Pinckney at the top, based off of what we have for planned, we would only anticipate for those two schools two elementary school students. For Carolina Park, 7 elementary school. If you go down to future, though, we project an additional 54 off of those 295 units. I'm sorry. So you can see that we broke it apart only because truly when we look at it, we're mainly looking at what's permitted. But we do look at some that when we know that they're coming through, that there is a better potential, we do look at those also. And for this exercise, we did that mm-hmm. so that we really could come to you all. One of the reasons I will go back and say that we don't look at really non-permitted a lot, for example, the one that we really like to talk about is Long Savannah. If you remember in West Ashley, when Long Savannah was coming out, mm-hmm. they were talking about 7,000 houses, and it never came to fruition. We would have built a whole, probably a new middle and elementary school if we'd have went by those numbers over there that were non-permitted. And that's why permitted numbers are so important to us when we look at it overall, because sometimes things come through PD and they get planned and development might say, okay, it's approved. But guess what? It never happens. So, but we really took that. We wanted to make sure that we did address the concerns of the community and the fact that they were concerned that Carolina Park was going to get maxed out. So this was everything. We looked at everything to come up with those 61.
Oh, thank you. And so with these future developments, not all of them are permitted yet. That's right. That's what you were looking at, is the unpermitted, just the potential. So the max potential for that area.
61.
Okay. And we're adding 190 some seats.
192 seats will be added to Carolina
by November.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think that's good. Great information.
Thank you so much.
That takes care of the school's concern. Our next concern is traffic. And I know transportation will be going deep on this, but we could just get the highlight, I guess.
Yeah, I'm gonna turn it over to Brad or James. One of them are gonna explain this a little bit better than I am.
Good morning, committee. James Aton with Capital Projects and Transportation. So we've reviewed the submittal for this potential development. And they've run through several different scenarios on what could potentially go into this site as opposed to the 100 townhomes. And that's what these figures are showing you here in table one are four scenarios that are allowable uses on this property versus what's being requested, again, as the residential townhomes for 100. And you can see based off of just at least these four scenarios, the projected annual daily traffic is less for the townhomes. And then, you know, without branching too far out from this, we do have other projects in the area that we'll dive into a little deeper in Transportation Committee, but that includes the roundabout intersection improvement at Park West Boulevard in Stockdale that will greatly improve safety and capacity through there. And that is under design currently, and probably for the next 18 months or so. So that project would likely be coming online based off of the projected time frame of the residential units. But happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. So the question that I have, I just want to clarify. So that land has been empty since Seacoast bought it, because Seacoast was planning to build an expansion of their church. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And then they chose not to do that, yes, and they chose to sell the property. The way the property is currently zoned, mm-hmm, without any town council input or approval, any of these scenarios could happen. Is that correct?
Correct.
Scenario 1 through 4.
Yes.
With these 2,000 trips a day.
Yes.
And the significant impact on traffic. And town council, yes, would have zero ability to impact those projects in any way because it's zoned by right. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So by almost reducing, and that was how we reducing the usage down to 100 townhouses, we are cutting trips significantly. The town is having more control over what happens on this property. Is that correct?
The request to go to residential from the industrial is what we would classify as a more restrictive zoning, mm-hmm, than what's currently allowed there.
That's correct. And I know that some citizens had said, well, this should just be empty wetlands or nature. Is it's not zoned for that. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. It is zoned light industrial and essentially equivalent to light industrial AB2.
Yeah, 8 acres of it is going to get developed either way. About 3 to 4 acres is being proposed to remain wetland. It doesn't have to remain wetland. It could be developed.
So someone who, let's say it wasn't this townhome property, someone could buy and fully develop all 12 acres.
That's correct.
But the proposal here is to only develop 8 acres and preserve 4 acres.
That's correct.
And we have the other concern was that intersection, the Stockdale intersection, and I believe we have our budget is such that we will be funding that, so it'll come online as this project comes online. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I think that addresses the second concern of citizens, which is traffic. I think this usage is significantly less traffic than the possibilities that are there that we would have no control over. And the concern about the roundabout is being met by the town prioritizing that roundabout so that it'll come online as this project comes online. So I'm comfortable moving forward. Any questions from committee?
Well, Madam Chairman, during Finance Committee, we have a potential additional revenue source that we may be able to use to expedite the Stockdale project. It hasn't been confirmed, but it was presented to us that the potential for additional funding in what we receive in what's called ATAX money could potentially be used, because ATAX now can be used for attainable housing. As such, a project which certainly is Stockdale roundabout is being expedited so that traffic for the attainable housing is minimized in terms of the impact. So that came up during finance, and so while we had material given to us on expediting Stockdale further during budget committee, we may be able to do even better. So I just bring that up because the town is doing everything we can do to have the issues for schools, I guess the right word is expedited, because they're building something that will be open for Carolina Park Elementary at the end of this year, or before the end of this year. And certainly the traffic work we're doing will be expedited and improved in terms of when it's done before the attainable housing is input. So those were the two major issues that were brought to us by the residents, and we are looking at that and making the necessary improvements to be ready before the attainable housing is in place.
Ms. Hyatt, do you have any questions?
No, I feel comfortable that we're addressing a lot of the concerns of the citizens. I appreciate that.
And Madam Chairman, if you'll indulge me one more thing. I was going to ask Ms. Reed to read all the possibilities that can occur on this site. And I mean all of them, all of which are terrible for Carolina Park. But I'm not going to do that, because I think we've already gone through what is being done to make the attainable housing the best opportunity for the town.
A couple other points of clarification. The town does not own or control Housing for All Mount Pleasant. Is that correct? It is an independent nonprofit.
Correct. That's
correct. Yes.
The town supported the creation of Housing for All Mount Pleasant, I believe. But since that time, it's been running as its own independent nonprofit. Is that correct? This project also is entirely privately funded. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the town is not putting taxpayer dollars into this?
That's correct.
The town is not putting taxpayer dollars into Housing for All to help support this?
We have no financial stake in this project at all.
So we have no financial responsibility to this project. This project lives or dies on its own as an independent, privately funded
correct
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that's wonderful, right?
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Exactly.
That it's independent of taxpayer dollars. And and I think that also addresses some of the concerns that I've heard from the community, that there seemed to be some misinformation out there that the town was somehow funding this project, and that is not the truth. Okay. Do we have any other questions or concerns on item number 6? From the committee? No? All right. There's nothing further to come before us. We stand adjourned.